Years ago, when I was living in Miami, Florida, I went to a produce market where I was going to purchase a milkshake. And while I was there, I ran into an old high school friend whom I played football with. And as we got into a discussion, I felt prompted of the Holy Spirit to share my faith with him. Now, this individual had professed faith in Jesus Christ while in high school, but I knew he wasn't living the Christian life. And so I began to share with him my testimony, and I proceeded to challenge him as to the validity of his Christian faith. I didn't say he wasn't saved, but I asked him if he was truly a born-again believer. And without hesitation, he said to me, "I know for certain I am a Christian." And I proceeded to tell him that if a person's truly saved, they're going to be producing fruit in their life. I walked away from that conversation wondering if my once high school friend was truly born again. Was he an individual who professed salvation but was deceived, or was he an individual that was truly saved but was more a carnal Christian? What exactly is a carnal Christian? It is someone who is saved or is born again, but they are not maturing in their walk with God. And some people would say that there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. You either are fully submitted to the Lordship of Christ, or you are not a genuine believer. But I tend to disagree with that view, and I take sort of a middle approach. Whereas I do think we are called in the Scripture to submit to the Lordship of Christ, not every believer is going to submit to the Lordship of Christ like he should. Now, I do believe a true, genuine believer is going to produce fruit in their life. Every true Christian has to manifest some fruit or they're not truly saved. But it is possible to be born again, to be saved, and to bear some fruit, but yet not be fully committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hence, we call these individuals carnal Christian. Would you say you're a carnal Christian? I think the landscape of Christianity today is littered with infantile, carnal believers. There are those in Matthew 7 who say, "Lord, Lord," and they truly will not enter the kingdom of God. I think we understand that biblically. But there are those who are saved, but they're not maturing the way they should in their Christian experience. And I think we see an example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In this section of Scripture, Paul is dealing with the Corinthian Christians who were clearly carnal. He calls them that in verses 1 and 2. In fact, what's interesting is if you read the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul assumes that many of those people to whom he's writing to were saved. In chapter 1, verse 1, he calls them saints in Christ Jesus, and yet throughout the epistle, he deals with many of their carnal behaviors. Now, I don't think Paul was assuming that everybody in Corinth who professed faith in Jesus Christ was genuinely saved, because if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he challenges them to examine themselves to see if they're in the faith. However, many of them were no doubt believers because he calls them saints, and only Christians can be saints. And so as we look at this section of Scripture, Paul gives us some of the characteristics of a carnal Christian. Number one, a carnal Christian is someone who is not maturing spiritually. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Brothers and sisters," again, he is addressing believers, "I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." Now, Paul here is reflecting on the time in Acts 18 when he went into Corinth on his missionary journey, and he preached the gospel to many of the Corinthian people. And many of them came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, "At that time, I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ." You see, they were carnal by time. They were immature in their walk with God. They were new believers. But then he says this in verse 2, "I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it." But here is the indictment of their lack of maturity. He says, "Indeed, you are still not ready. He says, when I led you to Christ, I understand that you were infants. You were carnal in the sense that you weren't mature in your walk with God. You hadn't learned the basic doctrines of the faith. And I understand that. I gave you milk. I couldn't give you solid food. But indeed, he says, you are still not ready. You're not maturing. And the implication is time had elapsed. And the Corinthian Christians were not maturing. As he shows later, they were manifesting carnal attitudes. And those worldly, fleshly attitudes gave indication to Paul that they were still Gerber Christians who were not maturing in their walk with God. And so one of the marks of a carnal Christian, it is someone who is saved by Jesus Christ. They are saints in the Lord, but they are not maturing spiritually. Time has elapsed, and they don't seem to be maturing in their walk with God. And God's desire for you and I as believers is that we mature, that we become more like Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 says the definition of spiritual maturity is becoming more like Christ in our attitudes and in our actions. In 1 John chapter 2, John gives us somewhat the definition of spiritual maturity by using three developmental categories. He says, I write to you children, because you know the Lord. And then he says, I write to you young men, because the word of God lives in you, and you've overcome the evil one. And then he says, I write to you fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. And there he gives three developmental categories. He says, I write to you children, I write to you young men, and we could add women, and I write to you fathers or mothers. And you see, this is progression. God wants us to move from being spiritual children who know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, to becoming spiritual young men and young women who know the Word of God, and we've overcome the evil one in the sense that we're not victimized by false doctrine and false teachers, to where we move on to being spiritual fathers and mothers. And by definition, a father is someone who has reproduced himself. You see, a father spiritually is someone who is mature enough where they're not only able to feed themselves, but they're able to feed other people. And so a carnal Christian is not moving from being a child to a young man or young woman or a spiritual father or spiritual mother. They stay spiritual children. They stay spiritual infants. And so if you're listening and you are a carnal Christian, you know in your heart you have been saved by Jesus Christ, and there is enough fruit to demonstrate that you truly are saved, but you're not really maturing in your walk with God. I want to encourage you to mature in your growth. I want to encourage you to move from being a spiritual child to a young man or a young woman to a spiritual father or spiritual mother. So the first characteristic of a carnal Christian is they are not maturing spiritually. The second characteristic is a carnal Christian is someone who is not moving beyond the basic doctrines of the faith. They are Gerber Christians. He says in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 3, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And then he says again, indeed, you are still not ready. He says you're still living off of breast milk. You're still living off of pablum. And we understand when a couple has a child that that child needs milk, either breast milk or maybe some type of product bought at the store. But you can't give an infant solid food because they're not ready for it. But at some point, if that child does not move beyond breast milk to solid food, a parent is going to be concerned about the development of their child. And so it is in the spiritual realm. You have many Christians, when they get saved, they digest the milk of the Word. They learn the basic doctrines of Christianity. And they don't know much in terms of information. They know that God loves them. They know that they're under the wrath of God. But if they trust in Christ, Christ will save them and forgive them. And they've done that, and they understand that. They understand that they're now going to heaven, etc., etc. But at some point, they need to move from those basic teachings, their basic understanding, their basic knowledge, and they need to graduate to solid food. And I think moving from milk to solid food is not just information, it's also understanding, and it's also being more discerning, and it's also having more wisdom. You see, you can't equate spiritual maturity just with information, because there's a lot of people that know the meat of the word, but yet they're still milk Christians in their attitudes and their behaviors. So knowledge in and of itself does not equal maturity, but you can't mature without knowledge. And you see, a carnal Christian never moves beyond the basic doctrines of the faith, not only in terms of knowledge, but in terms of assimilating that knowledge and applying it to their life. They're not maturing in their discernment. They're not taking the knowledge that they're acquiring from the Scripture, and they're not being discernment in terms of the application of that knowledge. They're not growing in wisdom. They're not growing in understanding. You see, there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the acquisition of information, whereas wisdom is the ability to take that information and apply it to circumstances and relationships. And so here, a carnal Christian, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, is you're still stuck in the milk phase. You're not moving on to solid food. Now, one of the reasons why is many churches today are not giving solid food. They continually feed their people a steady diet of milk. And again, there's nothing wrong with milk, but if that's all pastors are feeding their people and they're not providing them solid food, they're not challenging them doctrinally, people are not going to mature. And one of the trends that's been taking place in the last 20 or 30 years is the pulpit has been a place where all we're hearing is stuff related to how to do this or how to accomplish this or how to be successful, and there is no doctrine that is being taught. It's wisdom for practical living. It's steps on how to have a better marriage, or steps on how to be successful on your job, or steps on how to have a better relationship with someone else. And I'm not saying all of that's bad, because it is proverbial wisdom. It's giving people practical steps on how to live the Christian life. And I do think we ought to be practical. However, if all you do is give how-to messages and there's no doctrinal underpinning, there's no doctrinal foundation, there's no teaching on the sovereignty of God, there's no teaching on the great doctrines of salvation, such as justification, sanctification, or glorification, which, by the way, the Bible uses all these terms. So any pastor that tells you that stuff is not relevant, they're not being biblical. We have to give the solid doctrines of Christianity and then show the people how they apply to their life. So I think one of the reasons why people are not moving on from milk to meat is because the pulpits today are not giving solid food. But I think part of the problem too is many Christians are content living on a milk diet. They are content being breastfed Christians. They don't want to dig deeper into the Scripture. They don't want to read. They don't want to learn, because it takes discipline and it takes hard work. And so let me ask you a question. Are you a carnal Christian? Are you content living on the milk of the Word, or are you moving from milk to meat? You see, the Hebrew Christians had a problem with this. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, the writer chides them by saying, "We have much to say about this, that is Melchizedek, who is a type of Christ, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers," you see, there's the indictment, they should have been maturing to the point where they were spiritual fathers or mothers. They were able to help others grow. He says, "By this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food," the same language he uses in 1 Corinthians 3. "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil." And this confirms what I said earlier. The meat of the word is not just the information, it's also the ability to apply that information. It's developing discernment. That's one of the marks of a meat Christian, is they are discerning in their walk with God. They're able to take the truths of Scripture and apply it to their lives. And so God wants us not to be carnal Christians. And the first characteristic of a carnal Christian is it is someone who is not maturing spiritually. Secondly, it is someone who is not moving beyond the basic doctrines of the faith. Thirdly, a carnal Christian is someone who manifests sinful worldly attitudes. Now, before we look at the text, let me say this. This doesn't mean that if you are a mature Christian, you will never manifest sinful worldly attitudes. Because I think most mature Christians will tell you they still have to battle the flesh. They still have to battle worldly attitudes. And we all know this because we deal in relationships with people all the time, and sometimes people push our buttons. Sometimes we have to deal with people in customer service. Most of us have been on the phone with somebody providing a product, and they have angered us or they have irritated us because of the poor customer service that has been provided. And many times we can develop worldly sinful attitudes. So I'm not saying that all mature Christians will cease to manifest sinful worldly desires. However, a carnal Christian tends to be more controlled by sinful worldly attitudes than they are the fruits of the Spirit. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. He says to the Corinthians, you are still worldly. He says, you're still on milk. You're not maturing. Time has elapsed. You should be growing in your walk with God. You're not on meat. You're still on milk. He says, you are still worldly, and here are the attitudes they were manifesting. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans or mere men? He's saying you're acting like the non-believing world. You're manifesting attitudes that the world manifests. Verse 4, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Aren't you acting like non-believers? You see, one of the things that was going on in Corinth is they were polarizing around human teachers. Some of them were saying, I follow Paul, he's a better teacher. Others were saying, no, we follow Apollos, he's the better teacher. Others were saying, we follow Cephas, he's one of the 12 disciples. And you see, they brought this party spirit into the Corinthian church, and they were dividing over human leaders and human wisdom. And they were actually creating conflict in the church. It was a manifestation of jealousy and envy, and they were fighting with one another, just like kids do. And he says, you're acting like the non-believing world. He says, you are still worldly, you are still jealous. And so one of the characteristics of a carnal Christian is they manifest sinful worldly attitudes. On the other hand, someone who's maturing, they are learning to put to death many of those sinful worldly attitudes. They're learning to deal with jealousy. They're learning to deal with envy. They're learning to take the wrong. They're learning to cover a multitude of sins. They're learning to give forgiveness to other people. You see, they're manifesting mature attitudes, whereas carnal Christians tend to manifest the attitudes of the world. Galatians chapter 5 gives us some of these fleshly, carnal, worldly attitudes. Paul says in verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. You see, these are all worldly attitudes: envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. Carnal Christians manifest these attitudes. Now, if someone is dominated by these attitudes in Galatians chapter 5 as a lifestyle, and you don't see any fruit in their life whatsoever, you do need to question whether or not they're saved. Because Paul says in Galatians 5, he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So yes, someone who is dominated by these worldly, fleshly attitudes, and they have an unbroken pattern of them in their lives, and there's no sense of repentance or fruit, you need to question whether or not they're saved. But make no mistake about it, worldly carnal Christians can manifest these attitudes. And when you have a church filled with people that are born again and that have enough fruit to show that they're saved, but they're not maturing in their walk with God. They're not moving from milk to meat. And they manifest these sinful worldly attitudes that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in Galatians chapter 5. You are going to see a church that has no power, and it's not going to make an impact in the community. In fact, you will see a church that often has a lot of infighting. Show me a church where you have constant conflict, you have constant rancor, and I will show you a church that probably is dominated by people who are either not saved or they are carnal Christians. One of the reasons why many marriages today fail, and these are among people who are born again, and I, as a pastor, I've counseled many of these couples, is they are carnal in their attitudes and in their perspectives. And they constantly live with conflict within their marriage because they're not controlled by the Spirit of God like they should be. They're not manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. They're controlled by anger. They're controlled by fits of rage. They're controlled by discord and jealousy and selfish ambition. And I want my way. And they don't have that agape love towards one another. Listen, I don't care if you're born again. Just because you're saved doesn't guarantee that your marriage is going to go the distance. If you don't walk in the Spirit and you're not manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, you're going to have a hard time in your marriage. And this is why a lot of couples divorce. It doesn't make it right, but this is why they divorce, is because even though they're saved, they're manifesting these worldly, carnal attitudes. Well, there's another characteristic of a carnal Christian, and that is carnal Christians produce little fruit. Now, next time, we're going to look at this particular point on carnal Christians producing little fruit. And maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. All you have to do is acknowledge your sin, acknowledge that you cannot save yourself by your good works. And if you're willing to repent of your sin, that is, turn from it, and you're willing to trust in Jesus Christ who died for you and rose from the dead, God will forgive you and give you the gift of eternal life.